guys look amazing this morning. There is a word. There is a word found in 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, verses 10 through 17. If you have your Bibles, I would ask that you would turn there with me. Of course, the text will be on the screens for your convenience as well. And you at home, you grab your Bible and you turn to 1 Corinthians and follow along in the text of Scripture with us, if you will. Are we there, family? As you know, I will be reading from the New American Standard Bible, and I do appreciate you standing in holy reverence for the Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, beginning with verse 10, here's how my Bible reads. Now I exhort you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree. That's enough. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Somebody looked up here and said, Pastor, I know you didn't chop that verse in half. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. Now I exhort you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree. Family, I'd just like to speak briefly, and I do mean briefly this morning, from this subject, why we must agree to agree. Why we must agree to agree. As I set forth to preach this message, that word agree, it caught me, Jimmy, when I saw it. I began to think about that. That word agree. And naturally, I had to ask myself, Bill, what exactly does agree mean? And so I looked it up. Let me, if you will, give you Merriam-Webster's definition of agree. Are we listening? First of all, number one, to agree means to accept or concede something, such as the views or wishes of another. An example would be to agree to a plan. Not necessarily our plan, but to agree to that plan. Second definition, according to Merriam-Webster, to agree means to achieve or to be in harmony. Fred, is Fred in here? I know Fred might like that one. To achieve or to be in harmony as of opinions, especially feelings, and or purpose. Let me give you an example. We agree in our taste in music. Hold on one second. This is Merriam speaking. This is not Pastor. This is Merriam. I don't want anybody to throw a shoe at me. Okay, y'all act like y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Let me continue. To achieve or to be in harmony as of opinions, feelings, or purpose. An example, we agree in our taste in music. B, to get along together. Daniel Reyes, to agree means, according to Merriam-Webster, to get along together. And finally, C of part two, to achieve or to be in harmony, to come to terms. To come to terms. And I began to think about that thing, Chris, this idea of agreeing, and my mind couldn't help but to consider the world in which we live. When it comes to matters of the world, for whatever reason, the world simply cannot seem to agree on anything. I'll give you an example. Politics. Religion. As a matter of fact, if you get a job somewhere, the first thing they probably tell you is don't bring your politics or your religion in here if you want to keep this job. Anybody ever heard something like that? Politics, religion. How about dieting? Who can agree on dieting? Hey, what worked for me may not work for you. That's not the way we hear it. We usually hear it like this. Girl, I tried this, and I'm telling you, if you do it, you're going to lose all that weight real fast. Y'all ain't going to help me preach today. Politics, religion, dieting. How about how to pronounce the word aunt? Is it aunt or aunt? Somebody said Thea. I don't believe we're going to agree on that. Same thing in the church. Same thing in the church. I mean, do we often find ourselves in agreement or in disagreement in church? I would submit disagreement. At least that's what comes naturally, Clovis. Let me give you an example. What color should this carpet be? Somebody said, what was that? He says red. I know somebody else is thinking in their mind it should be blue. It should be beige. Don't they know that beige go with everything? It never go out of style. But what about building projects? Do we always agree on building projects? What about worship styles? What about whether pastor should have a suit on every Sunday or not? I'll leave that one alone. Listen, I can smile. I can have a little fun up here, Clovis. It's all right. If it's one thing that we as believers cannot seem to do these days, it's agree on anything, especially concerning matters of truth. Especially concerning matters of truth. And what that does, Larry, that begs the question, what exactly is truth? Interestingly, truth is exactly what we should all agree to agree on. Truth is what we should all agree to agree on. What then is truth? As I was in Bible college here in Houston area, I had a professor. His name was Dr. Steve Sullivan. And I declare that must have been one of the holiest men I have ever met until I got to North Oaks. And he was a pretty amazing fellow because he just had a way with words. He had a way with presenting things. And we were talking about that famous situation, that famous dialogue between Pilate and Jesus, where Pilate asked that question to our Lord and Savior. What is truth? Y'all remember that, right? And here is Dr. Sullivan's example. Here is Dr. Sullivan's definition, shall I say. Here it is. Quote, truth is whatever conforms to the mind of God, end quote. Dr. Sullivan says, Gabriel, truth is whatever conforms to the mind of God. Now, you can use that, but give Dr. Sullivan his credit if you decide to use it. Now, North Oaks, we have, as Dr. Sullivan understood, we have the mind of God, as he has chosen to reveal to us in his word. You were wondering, where is the mind of God? Here it is right here. Amen. That's a good place to say amen. We have the mind of God. Thus, I would graciously extend, if I could, Dr. Sullivan's definition to quote, truth is whatever conforms to the mind of God according to the scriptures. According to the scriptures. Paul talks to this church here, Corinthians, and begins this letter to them, and he wastes no time, Gigi, getting to the fact of the matter. We've read it. Dave, you did a wonderful job. He gave his salutation. He blessed the people, and he moves straightway into this matter of agreeing for unity's purpose. And when I look at my Bible, the first thing I see when we look at this text, family, is we see an appeal to unity in Christ alone. An appeal to unity in Christ alone. It's right there in verse 10. Now I exhort you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be made complete, here it is, in the same mind and in the same judgment. What this speaks to, North Oaks, an appeal to unity in Christ alone, what this speaks to what I want to call an upward confirmation. An upward confirmation. First of all, Christ warrants preeminence in all things. Let me say that again. Jesus Christ warrants preeminence in all things. I like the way Paul put it to the Colossians there in chapter number 1, verse 15 through 18. Listen to the word of God. He is, he being Jesus, North Oaks, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, verse 17, and in him all things, suneste, can hold together. That's a good way of putting, that's a poetic way of putting, the reason why the stars and the sun and the moon ain't bumping into each other is because Christ is holding them in their place. He is also, here's where it gets interesting, Larry, he is also head of the body. For those of you who thought Pastor Orr was, my Bible says different. Christ is also head of the body, the church. And he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. That's one way of putting it. I like the way to put it in Acts chapter number 4. And there is salvation in no one else. There is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. No doubt Christ warrants preeminence in all things. And get this, citizenship within the body of Christ is God's gift to us. Now, let me give you the second part, and I'll see if I get an amen to that. Citizenship within the body of Christ is God's gift to us. Humility for the sake of unity is our gift back to God. There you go, Gigi. It's an amazing thing. Not only does Christ warrant preeminence in all things, but we should have one mind united in truth. I like the way he puts it a little bit later on, 1 Corinthians next chapter, chapter number 2, verse 16. For who has understood the mind of the Lord as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. In other words, who can look at God's word and say, God, oh, you got it wrong right there. This is what you meant to say. I'll just correct it and then we'll push on. Not so much. Not so much. We have one mind united in truth according to the scriptures. According to the scriptures, 2 Timothy chapter number 3, verse 16 and 17 says, All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man or woman of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. We have an appeal to unity in Christ alone speaks of an upward confirmation. But not only that, the second thing we have is an allegation of division in the body. An allegation of division in the body. It's right there in verse 11. And what this speaks to an inward confrontation. An inward confrontation. Look at what it says there in verse 11. For I have been informed concerning you, my brethren, by Chloe's people, that there are quarrels among you. Now, I like that word quarrels. We don't tend to use that word too much. Y'all know I'm a police officer, and a lot of times when I go to the scene, no one ever says, "Officer, over here, they're over here quarreling." They don't usually say that. They say, "Hey, he over here stomping him. He don't put hands on him, officer. Get over here and help." I have yet to hear that word. They are quarreling. But I want to tell you something about that word. That word, that phrase, quarreling among you. Paul says, I've gotten word that there's some quarreling among you. The term translated quarreling, heres, it also appears in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, verse 3, but it is coupled here, as quite always, with another word, jealousy. Paul couples this word, quarreling, heres, oftentimes with another word, jealousy. In other words, he's saying often they go hand in hand. Could it be that Paul might suggest that the root of a lot of this arguing and quarreling is jealousy? I think it might be, but let's just take a look at it. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, just a few chapters later, verse 3. For you are still of the flesh, for while there is jealousy and strife. That word strife is heres here. It means quarreling. It's the actual word quarreling. Jealousy and strife, there you see it coupled with jealousy, among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? Paul indicts them and said, the fact that you're being jealous and quarreling is a testament that you're operating in the faith. In other words, you have refused to take off some things, the self-righteousness, and put on Christ. You're being caught wearing your own righteousness. It's an amazing thing. But then it comes back up. He gives a couple of, you know, Paul likes to give those vice lists. I get nervous when I start preaching about these vice lists. I don't know, should I say a couple of words and duck? Right there in 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, verse 20. 2 Corinthians 12 and 20. For I fear that perhaps when I come and find, and may find you not as I wish, And that you may find me not as you wish, that perhaps there may be some quarreling, same word. And look what's next. Jealousy. Do y'all see that in y'all Bible? Listen, do you see it on the screen? If you can't find it in your Bible, I want you to look at it on the screen. Quarreling, jealousy. And then what we have after that? Anger, hostility, slander, gossip, conceit. That's arrogance. And disorder. Can't stop right there, Larry. Got one more vice to go through. Galatians chapter number 5, verse 19 and 20. I'm just trying to lay a foundation for this word quarreling, because the rest of this passage is going to be built off the effects of this word. Galatians chapter number 5, verse 19 through 21. Now the works. Where is Wayne? Is Wayne in here? My goodness, I feel like I need him to stand right here and protect me. No, Wayne is the man for that. Galatians chapter number 5, verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are evident. It's funny how we always start these lists off with sexual immorality, impurity, sensualities. These are the sexual nature sins. And then we got idolatry, sorcery, enmity. And there's our word, quarreling, strife. And what is it followed by? Well, y'all don't want to mess with me this morning, I'm telling you. I'm prepared. Jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries. Do you mean to tell me that church folk would actually have rivalries going on? Rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, That's why I call it Wayne. Orgies and all things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things, get this, will not inherit the kingdom of God. Family, here's the point. Wherever this word quarreling comes up, it is never a good reference. I'll let that dead horse lie. But by including within his charge, he pauses and inserts that phrase, my brethren. You see it right there in verse 11? For I have been informed concerning you, my brethren. You see how that kind of softens the charge? He lays a charge. Hey, guess what I just heard? My brothers and sisters. By Chloe's people, that there is what? He softens it by adding the brothers. And what he does is he reminds them of their unbroken position and purpose. I like the way he puts it in Philippians chapter number 2, verse 2. Complete my joy by being of the same mind. That's kind of like the definition of agreeing I read with you earlier. Having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. It's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing. We have an appeal to unity in Christ alone. Verse 10 speaks of an upward confirmation. We have an allegation of division within a body. Verse 11 speaks of an inward confrontations. It's an inside job. But then thirdly, we see an argument over authority. Now, this is where we're going to put a pin. Chris, give me a few minutes here. Maybe I should be asking Jill. Let me have a few minutes here, Jill. An argument over authority. This is a big deal. You mean to tell me that church people will have an issue with an argument over authority? It's right there in verses 12 through 16. And Clovis, what this speaks to backward identifications. Backward identifications or wrong-headed identifications. I couldn't make it up. It's right there. First of all, there is zero ground for lordship confusion. Now, that's not the God we serve. Wow, I just stepped away. I realize I've been standing here pretty much the whole sermon. Feels good to step away. There can be no confusion over who is Lord. We don't serve. Christ did not go to a cross and pay the penalty to come up from the dead with all power in his hand and declare that it's okay if you make me Lord on Mondays and Tuesdays. Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, you can have another Lord, but just come back to me on Sunday. Does he say that? I don't think he does. There's zero ground for lordship confusion. Look at verse 12 there. Now, I mean this concerning the quarrels by Chloe's people, that there are quarrels among you. Look at verse 12. Now, I mean this, that each one of you is saying, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I am of Cephas. That's Peter for those who don't read their Bible. And I of Christ. Do y'all know what that is? We have those in the world today. If you don't believe it, go to a junior high school and look at all the factions. Somebody said, why you say junior high? Somebody said, you can find those in high school. Somebody said, why you say high school? You can find those in college. They said, why you say college? You can find the factions in graduate school. Somebody said, why you say graduate school? You can find the factions right here in the church. Paul says it should not be. Paul says it should not be. I hate to burst anyone's bubble, but I'm here to declare that every blood-washed believer must find his or her identity in Christ alone. Isn't that the problem that the world has? When all the fads come, I identify with this. So I'm special. Everybody come and celebrate me. Because the newest thing I identify with. Are we talking to our young people? I am. Vince, I hear it all the time. Whatever the newest thing, that's what is popular to identify with. Maybe the Bible is just old-fashioned Christ, you know. That's not exciting. I like that we put it in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse 17. This is why our identity is in Christ alone. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. And old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Galatians 2:20. Man, this verse is, if you ever want to know a verse to memorize, here it is. I have been crucified. Why you want to be a Jesus freak? Haven't y'all heard that term? I have. I'm not glamorizing. I've heard it just a few too many times. Call me what you want to call me. Here's a good retort. If you get called that say, I've been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live, I live in the flesh. I live by faith in the Son of God, because he loved me, and Jesus gave himself up for me. Family, that is why we are to agree, or we can agree in song, lifting our voices together with the hymnist. I thank you, Blake. I didn't tell you to sing this, but it's in my message. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand, and running back, all other ground is sinking sand. I'm going to suggest if they want to pick on you young folk because you love Jesus, pull these lyrics out. Ask them how they like that. Pull these lyrics out. There is zero grounds for lordship confusion, but then secondly, there is no basis for conflating God's glory and man's giftedness. This is some dangerous ground right here, Blake. There is no basis for conflating. That means getting mixed up, getting it twisted, as the young folk would say. God's glory and man's giftedness. It's right there in verses 13 through 16. Listen to it. Has Christ been divided? That's a good question. It's a rhetorical question. Has Christ been divided? Paul was not crucified for you, was he? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one would say you were baptized in my name. Now, I did baptize also the house of Stephanas. Beyond that, I do not know whether I baptized any other. Paul said, guess what? Big deal. He says, I'm glad I ain't baptizing because you'll be making my name in these factions. How dare you make a faction with my name? What should be our prayer? Instead of joining these factions, instead of lifting up men on pedestals and say, I follow this man. Your pastor can't cut it over here in Texas. I follow this man. God, I'm grateful for your servant and his gifting to preach your gospel and to instruct your flock, being guided by the Holy Spirit, even having penned much of the New Testament. But I give you and you alone all the glory for redeeming my soul. I give you and you alone all the glory for redeeming my soul. We have an appeal to unity in Christ alone, an upward confrontation. Verse 11, an allegation of division within the body, an inward confrontation. You have an argument over authority. That's a shameful argument. Verses 12 through 16 speaks of backward identifications. Fourthly and finally, we have a summation of purpose in unity. The summation of purpose in unity is right there in verse 17, and this speaks to North Oaks an outward proclamation. An outward proclamation. It's right there in verse 17. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not in cleverness of speech, so that the cross of Christ would not be made void. That's a bit of a, if you just gloss over that, you may miss what Paul is saying. If you gloss over, you may, Paul is not saying that there's a problem with him baptizing. God didn't send me to baptize, so I can't baptize nobody. No, that's not what Paul's saying. What Paul is saying, my chief gifting is to preach the gospel to Gentiles. And if preaching the gospel to Gentiles is set before me and I have an opportunity to go over here and baptize people, I'll let somebody else do the baptizing and I'll preach the gospel. That's what he's saying. Because God has gifted and called me to be a voice, especially, particularly to the Gentile. Here's the bottom line. I must preach the gospel with the authority, rightly wielding the sword of the Spirit according to the scriptures. According to the scriptures, I like the way you put it, 1 Corinthians chapter number 5, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I told y'all in Bible study several weeks ago, this is my favorite presentation of the gospel in all the scriptures. I believe it just may be the most comprehensive. If you don't agree with me, don't put the brakes on me, okay? Let's just see what it says. Now, I make known to you, brethren, this is Paul speaking, a little bit later in this book. I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preach to you, which also you receive, in which also you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast to the word I preach to you, unless you believe it in vain. For I deliver to you what? As of first importance. Yeah, I can baptize people. That's not the main thing. The first importance, what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Y'all ain't got to be scared. Y'all can say it loud. That Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day. Oh, I'm liking y'all more and more, Karina. I'm liking them more and more every day. Every day according to the scriptures. Let me tweak that. I gave it a little bit earlier and I said citizenship within the body of Christ is God's gift to us, and humility for the sake of unity is our gift back to God. Let me tweak it a little bit here. Tell me how you like this one. Your talent is God's gift to you. What you do with it is your gift back to God. It's an amazing thing. I couldn't make it up. Let me just tell you, I can do a few things. Y'all might see me play the piano a little bit. I can play the piano a little bit. Now, I enjoy it. Not like I enjoy preaching the gospel. I wish I could sing. I wish I could sing. I can sing a little bit. But can I tell you something? Not like I can preach the gospel. This is my thing. I pulled up today and I parked my car and I was on my way in here and I heard somebody doing their thing. That thing, that special talent and gift that God just gave them. It's so good that everybody just seems to notice it. I tell you what happened. I walked up. I came toward the worship center. I saw Bill and Nora. They were standing outside on their post. Y'all know what Bill was doing? You see what I mean when I tell you? Other people just know it. Bill was singing. and what it did to my heart. I didn't say, Bill, let me just tell you, we're having a conversation. Just pretend like all the rest of these people are not here. Bill, when I heard you singing, I want you to know I didn't get jealous of you. I did not feel like I wanted to go pick a fight with you because you were showing out. I know you wouldn't, Bill, but I'm just telling you, I didn't get this. Can I tell you what I got? Can I tell you what I got? God, thank you. Thank you for allowing your man to bless me. I couldn't make it up, Bill. I couldn't make it up. It's an amazing thing. In other words, I must walk in my gifting. Bill, don't ever stop singing. Don't you let them folk push you up here and tell you you got to preach. Don't you let them tell you you got to play drums and all this stuff. You just sing. I love it. I love it. I must walk in my own gifting. Not only for your sake, but for the sake of gifting back to God the worship that is due his name. And the power needed to accomplish this, Bill, lies in the gospel proclamation, not the proclaimer. The power lies in the proclamation, not the proclaimer, for the word of the cross is folly. That's another way of saying foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the very power of God. I gave you the bottom line. Now, here's my entire message, real cute with a bow on the end of it. Somebody say, you ain't been doing that, Pastor, so don't start it. But we're going to do it just for today, and I won't do it anymore. Family, Jesus says, close your eyes. Maybe if you're not looking at me, then you'll actually accept that this is what God is saying in this text. I don't want anybody to think I'm saying it. Family, Jesus says, if you can agree to agree on truth, I'll grant you eternal fellowship with my Father. Open your eyes. If we can agree, family, if we can agree to agree on truth, the Lord will grant us eternal fellowship. I can't even wrap my mind around eternal fellowship with his Father. Family, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come and we do thank you. We do magnify and glorify your name. We lift you up and not ourselves. God, you've given each and every one of us a gift. May that gift never become bigger than you. We don't worship the gift. We worship and praise the giver. The gift can never be greater than the giver. The servant can never be greater than the master. Nothing that comes out of Pastor Orr's mouth will ever be greater than the scriptures. Father God, we love you and thank you that you have given us the correct priority. You don't do factions. You haven't called your church to be caught up in factions. But instead, you've called us to agree. How is it that we can agree on anything? Here it is. Same Jesus that bore your sins, bore my sins, took them to the same cross, rose from the same grave, and declare with the same lips that all power in heaven and earth has been given unto me. We are united in Christ. And may that be the great equalizer. We all have different gifts, but we got the same Savior. We have, Kathy, the same hope. Father God, sear this in our hearts that we might not sin against you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us give the benediction, family. Now unto him who is able to keep us from falling, present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God and Savior be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. I love pastoring North Oaks Baptist Church because here at North Oaks, we are shining the light and glorifying the Father. Amen.